This is KGVM Radio, 95.9 on your dial.
I'm Marion.
And I'm Jim. We are your hosts for this weekly program, Meditation to Self-Realization.
Our intention here is to do interviews, guided meditations, and share teachings of Hindu philosophy. We will be discussing how we can reach our greatest potential through self-realization.
This week we want to focus on a theme that will be taken from a book by Prithiji and Krishnaji, The Four Sacred Secrets.
So Jim, before we get started, I'd like to lead us all in a short breath pause.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
To relax and become centered.
Alright.
So let's take some slow, deep breaths and be very conscious of your inhale and your chest rising, and an exhale with your chest falling. And take a couple breaths this way. Relax your facial muscles. Relax your shoulders. Be sure your lips are closed as you inhale slowly and exhale slowly. And now take another inhale, and on your exhale, slowly open your eyes and join us.
That's nice. Thanks, Marion.
You're welcome.
So, for tonight's program, I'd like to start out with Is Pressure Good for You? It's a little talk by Krishnaji about stress-free life. It's part of their Evolution Series 100. And this one he gave to a group of youth, probably a couple hundred youth. And it's prevalent not only for the youth that are coming into their adulthood and into the world of work, but it's also prevalent for us older folks and middle age, for anybody. So let's listen to that, and then I'm going to do a reading from the Four Sacred Secrets. That's all take about 10 minutes, and then we'll do a little meditation.
The biggest problem the youth of the world face today, that I and Prithiji believe strongly, is the problem of pressure, is the problem of psychological pressure. You, the current generation, are enduring the greatest pressure than anybody else in history. Why is this psychological pressure? Or where is this psychological pressure coming from? Each and every one of us, each and every one of you out there are pressured, are feeling pressure. Peer pressure, parental pressure, education pressure, pressure to look good and beautiful, pressure to look intelligent, pressure to succeed, pressure to make money, pressure to be fashionable, yes. Pressure to be trendy, absolutely. And pressure to win. Every second of your life, you are feeling pressured. And this disease or this pressure that you're feeling, do you think it'll go away? Do you think you all can be free of pressure? there is no way you can be free of this pressure. Can you ever avoid pressure from your parents? Can you ever avoid pressure from your friends? Can you ever avoid pressure from your work? Impossible. You cannot avoid these pressures. These pressures are going to be part of your life. But you will need to learn to navigate through these pressures. You need to learn to make decisions, and you need to learn to live your life free from this pressure. If you can learn to handle this one single thing in your life, you will conquer everything in life. Your life will be beautiful. Your relationships will be beautiful. Your work will be beautiful. Your friendships will be beautiful. Everything will be beautiful. If you are not able to handle this pressure, you as an adult, when you're growing up, your life is going to be miserable. There are a lot of adults out there who cannot handle pressure. I'm sure you know that very well. You'll be seeing that in your home. You'll be seeing that amongst your parents, your relatives, everyone who are not able to handle pressure. And in fact, when they're not able to handle their pressure, whom are they showing it upon? Yes, you, the kids. That is why it is so important that as you grow up, you don't do that same mistake, that you show it on your kids. Are you all able to understand the seriousness and the importance of transforming your lives? Not only yours, but your friends, your colleagues, everyone. The youth today, majority of you out there, are heading towards a massive problem. And what is the solution? We have a solution. All of you have a solution. You can't stop the world from putting pressure on you. Pressure will be there, but you must learn not to internalize that pressure and succumb to stress. You have to diffuse pressure. Even in the most toughest of situations, you must learn to diffuse pressure, and you must learn to live a stress-free life, which means you must learn to live in powerful states of consciousness, which means you must learn to live the art of living in a beautiful state. If you can do that, you are going to be a different person. You are going to be a magnificent human being, impacting the world in a magnificent way. You will be creating a difference. And that's the vision. The vision of Ekam Youth Change Makers is to make each and every one of you to live a life where you do not have pressure, where you are able to handle that pressure effortlessly, where you are able to live in a beautiful state and create a beautiful life, beautiful relationships, beautiful work, becoming a beautiful leader, a beautiful parent, a beautiful friend, whatever it may be. Every aspect of your life must become beautiful. That's the purpose of our life, right? And if you want your life to become beautiful, then you also definitely want others' life to become beautiful, right? It's just not for you. And if that's the case, you need to become a change maker.
Okay. I'm going to read from chapter 2 in the book, The Four Sacred Secrets, by Prithiji and Krishnaji. It's a guide to living in a beautiful state. And this reading I'm going to do starts out with the story about Gandhi. I don't know if you ever saw the movie or read about him, but in his young career as a lawyer, he was in South Africa and he got booted off a train. And because of his color and where he was sitting, he had bought first class tickets, and the conductor wanted him to sit in another part of the train, and he refused to. And the conductor stopped the train and threw him off the train. And it was cold out; he was shivering, and not only that, but there was so much indignity. And in the Four Sacred Secrets, Krishnaji and Prithiji interpret what they think happened to Gandhi in his most crucial first experience of transformation. How did he handle this type of pressure? And here's the reading. Here were some options that were open to Gandhi, who was simmering in humiliation. Option one was to ditch the entire plan of succeeding as a lawyer in South Africa and return to India, bristling with anger. Option two was to stomach the shame and go about his efforts at money-making, as numerous others had done before him. Option three was to burn with indignation, stay in Africa, and plan his personal revenge on the ticket collector or rouse an angry rebellion against the British Empire. Gandhi chose the fourth option, bringing his attention to his suffering states of anger and shame and dissolving them. And from that state of calm, he could move beyond himself and connect to scores of Indians who suffered oppression day after day. It was not his personal hate for the British, but a deep compassion for his people that led him to begin his nonviolent resistance movement to injustice in South Africa. 54 years after his first major brush with inner truth, Mahatma Gandhi led a nation of more than 390 million Indians to independence from the British without inciting them to violence and bloodshed. It was a fight led from a beautiful state. Equipped with this story, let us now take a plunge into the second sacred secret. So many in the world think that to rise to greatness, we must put our strategies and plans in place, know the plans of our opponents, and get the better of them. But what if we all have it all wrong? What if the first step to greatness is not to strategize? What if true greatness begins with a pause, with forming a deep relationship with our own inner truth? Many of us are disconnected from what goes on within. There is a fundamental error we make in recognizing the truth of our inner states. Often we mistake our inner stress for passion, worry for love, anger for inspiration, and fear for intelligence. I have seen many people experience quite a shock once they learn to clearly identify their inner states. They are surprised to discover they've been clinging to stressful emotions, despite logically knowing that it is unwise. They become accustomed to disturbed states because they either didn't know how to climb out of them, or they simply couldn't imagine another way of being. When we are far removed from what we feel, we can easily mistake suffering states for motivating or intelligent states. For instance, some of us use anger or stress as a way to derive ourselves. We see our rage or our anxiety as a tool. When we look back upon some of the gains while in this state, it's easy to become addicted to our anger and dependent upon our frustration. We do not believe we can create or achieve success without it. Then there are those of us who are addicted to worrying. The only way we know how to show love is by obsessing about our loved ones, health, future, and achievements. In many families, this is how parents express their love for their children, and it's the way many of us learn to show love to our own partners, friends, and children. But it is a suffering state of consciousness all the same. Still, others have been taught to focus more on people's inner states than their own. Even if they do not outwardly blame others for their discomfort, their first instinct is to try to understand others instead of themselves. As caring as this approach may seem, if you are unable to connect with yourself, you will never connect with another. what happens when we are driven by such states of consciousness, we might manage to be successful, but the journey will be so fraught that it will come at a great cost. We make enemies on our rise, damage our health, or simply unable to enjoy what we created. Nor will we allow others around us to enjoy themselves. If we believe stress and anxiety are motivating, we will keep our teams and families stressed right along with us. Society certainly perpetuates ideas such as suffering is a blessing and struggle is the key to success. Think of how much we revere the idea of the tortured artist or the leaders who suffered their way to the top. But what if suffering had nothing to do with the success of these individuals? What if, in fact, it prevented so many of our heroes and geniuses from reaping the benefits of their greatest achievements? What if it is freedom from suffering that actually led these people to greatness, and nobody realized this? So what is inner truth? Let's follow that up with a little contemplation here. We'll do a meditation here. And maybe about 11 minutes. So gently close your eyes and take a look at your inner truth and how you deal with stress. Thank you. Take a deep breath. Exhale. And gently open your eyes. Welcome back. I want to play another video that pertains to the topic today. And this one is by Prithiji, and it's part of their Evolution During Crisis classes. Debug your mind. Debug your mind.
In your mind, you need a greater power, a power beyond your mind. If your computer or your phone gets hung, you sometimes uninstall all the external software and then reinstall them again. And then the system begins to work perfectly. What do you do if your mind gets hung? What do you do if it gets stuck in a space where it is not able to do intelligent thinking? Let us go into it now. Most people actually are unclear about what the connection between the mind and the brain is. In simple terms, we can look at our brain as the hardware and the software is the mind. So what is the mind? The mind is its thoughts, its beliefs, its memories, its perceptions, and its views. Mind is basically old. Since it is old, it is also mechanical. If you have noticed, all feelings, emotions, and opinions, actually they are based on memories. That is why we have the same feelings and same emotions that goes repeating again and again. It repeats within us over the years. The bugs in the mind are suffering states. When any of your mind files become corrupt with suffering states, you get bugged. Let us say you got hurt with a loved one. Some of your fond personal memories with that person actually goes corrupt. A memory that was beautiful in the past could now get distorted, and you feel you were naive, you feel you were cheated to have believed in that person's love until then. You in fact imagine that you were manipulated all these years. You feel ashamed about the love. You feel ashamed about the trust you held. Like some viruses that probably begin with corrupting one file and then go on to corrupt the whole system and make it crash, this bug of emotional hurt also spreads into every other relationship in life and actually leads you to total depression. Every suffering state, be it anger, fear, disappointment, can become bugs that can corrupt the system of the mind. So what is the sign that the mind file is corrupt in you? Whenever you feel unbearable thought noise, or your thinking becomes extremely chaotic, whenever your thinking does not allow your unwise reactions towards others to slow down, whenever your overactive mind does not allow you to sleep, when your inner noise does not allow you to sit still, you know one of your mind files has gone corrupt. You need to repair this situation immediately before the whole mind system crashes, taking down relationships, taking down your career, your joy, your life's meaning, before it takes down everything in your life. You need to attend to it. To uninstall defective programs in your mind, you need a greater power. A power beyond your mind, the power of consciousness. If you are in a slippery deep pit, you actually cannot pull yourself out by tugging at your own hair. You need someone who is strong from the outside to pull you out of it. Jesu, to stop this incessant thought noise generated by your suffering states, you need to access the power beyond the mind. You need the power of your consciousness. Consciousness is ever-present presence. It is living intelligence. It is a field of infinite possibilities. It is the divine. It is the sacred. When you are awakened to the limitless power of consciousness, you see through the limitations of your mind. You transcend the mind. You also heal the mind.
Let's do another little meditation. And be focused about what bugs we might have in our mind. Gently close your eyes. Gently open your eyes. Take a nice deep breath. Let's get grounded. So maybe the way to get beyond debugging the mind and the stress that we create is to get into what some people call the enlightened state, or the present state of being, being present right now. Some people call that an awakening. It's been around for a while. Here's a short piece by Prithiji. Is enlightenment a new invention?
Where one is free of suffering. It is a state where you're free of suffering or every tendency or any root that causes suffering is weeded out of your consciousness. Where such intense awareness is built in your consciousness, you become capable of bringing such intense awareness that suffering does not grow, that suffering does not build. It is a state in which thoughts exist, but just as a matter of information. Memories exist without any charge to it. Again, it is just information. It is a state where you are not compulsively pushed to your past or to your future. You know to live in the present moment. You know to be alive. You're not preoccupied with yourself. It is a state of expansiveness. Why do we need enlightenment? Is it a new invention? No. It is probably the oldest human pursuit. Human beings have, through several civilizations, seen the ups and downs of many civilizations. They've seen the coming of new languages, the dying of languages, new lifestyles emerging, the old one going. So many changes have happened in human history. But there is one desire that has continued in all situations, is this ultimate pursuit, which is enlightenment, which is an experience of being one.
Well, we're going to wrap up the show with a final meditation. It'll be a long meditation. But Marianne should be back for the next show, in case you're getting tired of me. And that should be an intriguing show. I'm going to pick her brain about her trip to India and all of the inner wisdom and knowledge and truth that she went through. So stay tuned for that. I'm not going to end the show after the meditation. We'll just get on with the rest of our evening. So you enjoy the evening. And it's been fun. God bless. And we'll see you next week. Gently open your eyes. Take a deep breath. Take another breath.